Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell. Today, we're going to continue our little story of Dr. Crazy Amy Bishop. And if you didn't listen to part one yet, you may want to go do that before you listen to part two, because it'll make a whole lot more sense. So here we go. Amy accepted a tenure track job as an associate professor of biology at the University of Alabama. So the family relocated to Huntsville, Alabama in 2003.
How would you like her for a teacher?
Well, you're going to find out.
I'm scared. Don't be scared.
Which no doubt promised a more secure financial future for them. This position and earning tenure was very important to Amy. Tenure would mean an indefinite position would be guaranteed, and only under extraordinary circumstances would she be fired, because she's been fired from about every other job that she's had, right?
I have a feeling that she'll have some type of extraordinary circumstance, because this bitch is crazy.
I have a feeling as well. In Amy's third novel, Amazon Fever. I can't imagine her having a novel named Amazon Fever, but she did.
I wonder what her, like, main man figure looks like. He was 4'11".
4'11"?
92 pounds.
Wow.
Balding.
Yeah? Keep on. Go on.
Oh, my God. Like, what else?
He had webbed fingers and toes.
Yes, he resembled a duck. Oh, wait. I think he might be a duck.
Wait, his name was Harold.
Oh,
and
crap.
He was a duck.
He was a duck.
Damn, Harold. So in her third novel, Amazon Fever, it was about a Harvard postdoctoral fellow, Olivia White, who must save the planet from a deadly retrovirus, which was in line with she and Jimmy starting to collaborate on the invention of an automated cell incubator. Basically an electric petri dish.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
So they're planning on saving the planet, you know, like, so this was also a novel of hers.
I'm really getting the whole journaling thing from her.
It's journaling. It's not a novel. So David Williams, the president of the university, predicted to a local paper that the device would change the way biological and medical research is conducted. Like, they really believed in this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They were on board.
She wasn't just delusional. Okay, that's good.
Nope. Amy was struggling with living in Huntsville away from her family and friends, and she became more isolated. She didn't have many friends there, so she plunged herself into creating patents for their new invention. Now, this is great, but it also became a problem. Because in order to obtain tenure, you must have a certain number of research papers published. And Amy was busy pursuing patents rather than writing papers.
Oh.
Correct.
Huh.
Her publication record was inadequate, and she appeared to ignore repeated warnings that failing to publish more could jeopardize her prospects for tenure. She was failing in the classroom as well, occasionally informing pupils that they were not as bright as their counterparts at Harvard.
Oh, my God.
She abruptly dismissed several graduate students from her lab. Others requested to be transferred. Several of the students took to a website named ratemyprofessors.com.
That's a great website.
And expressed their opinions, calling her aloof and arrogant. No.
Yeah, and if you're mean to her, she may or may not blow you up.
Yes, she might.
Just don't take her class. See if you switch out.
One review said Dr. Bishop was very unclear in her test preparation grading and overall teaching style. She's not at all organized, and neither are her lab instructors. The tests are fairly easy, and you never really have to go to class except on review day.
Hmm.
Another review said, for a Harvard graduate, she has very little common sense. Other reviews stated that she mostly just read straight from a textbook verbatim and did not elaborate on anything.
I wonder if she read her rating on Rate My Professor.
I don't know, but if she's still in prison and she's hearing this podcast, go check it out.
Yeah. Let us know which ones you like and don't like.
She performed so poorly as a professor that her students began a petition to have her removed from the classroom, hand-delivering it to Dr. Gopi Padilla, the head of the biological science program. But he brushed it off as first-year jitters for her. After all, she was a Harvard-educated neurobiologist, which would bring a lot of grant money with her research, right? So she's got this whole cell incubator thing. So he's like, it's just first-year jitters. Let's see how it goes.
We'll give her a minute or two. We'll see how long it takes her to get this thing figured out.
Mm-hmm. So 3 years passed, and Amy had none of her research papers published.
Oh, wow.
Until finally, she had an article published in the Journal of Neurochemistry in 2009.
Was it her Amazon woman?
No.
Paper? No.
It was actually a research paper.
Oh, okay.
She had a second paper appear in the same publication later that year. It seemed Amy was finally getting back on task to receive her tenure. Go, Amy! Woo-hoo! Go, Amy! Then Amy published a third paper, which appeared in the International Journal of General Medicine, which is considered a vanity press, which is that an author can pay to have anything published.
I wonder if her tenure stated that you couldn't pay to have your articles published.
Oh, I'm quite certain that's a no-no. So, yeah, I had it published.
You never said anything about me paying.
Yeah. So on top of that, she had the authors of the research paper listed as Anderson LB, Anderson PB, Anderson TB, Bishop A, and Anderson J. These were the names of herself, her husband, and her minor daughters.
What?
Which were listed as employees of Cherokee Lab Systems, a company started by her husband, Jimmy. This was done in an effort to play catch-up with her published work. So she's like, oh yes, me and all these scientists here discovered all this. Meanwhile, her kids are like freaking 8 years old. Like, what?
Look, Mom, I found violet.
Yeah.
And this is violet blue.
Yes. I have a marker.
Please get the marker out of your nose.
Don't put the marker in your mouth. This attempt did not work, and Amy was denied tenure and was, in fact, working her last semester at the University of Alabama.
I can't believe she lasted that long.
She was pissed. She filed an appeal along with a claim of gender discrimination because one of her reviewing professors had said she was crazy. Now, let me just ask you, what does that have to do with gender? Because we talk about a lot of crazy bitches who are men.
Yes.
Okay? Has nothing to do with you being a female. Crazy is not connected to female. And I know a lot of men that would disagree, but F you. Okay.
Oh, I know a lot of female that would agree.
That professor was given the opportunity to apologize for his remark, which he declined. He stated, I said she was crazy multiple times, and I stand by that. This woman has a pattern of erratic behavior. She did things that weren't normal. She was out of touch with reality. So no apologies were issued.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Amy's appeal was also denied, and of course she went on ranting that she was only denied because everyone was out to get her.
Of course they were.
Uh-huh. That there were people in her department that had a personal beef with her, and she got a raw deal. Not from her lack of work, inability to adequately teach, or fake research papers that were eventually retracted from the International Journal of General Medicine. So even though she paid for the article, they retracted that shit. They were like, no.
You're not going to put it in here, and you're not going to get your money back.
You're not getting a refund.
No refunds. You should have read the small print.
Mm-hmm. She hired a lawyer, but received an email at the beginning of February from the university informing her that she had exhausted all of her appeals and that her employment would indeed be terminated at the end of the semester.
I can see why they sent that in an email. Could you imagine delivering that news to her face?
Negative.
Like in a freaking bomb suit.
Yeah, right. On Friday, February the 12th, 2010, Amy conducted her classes for the day. After her second class, she drove home, had lunch with Jimmy, who would later say he didn't notice anything odd about her behavior.
Because all of her behavior is odd.
Maybe that's true.
That's just normal for him.
That's true. She asked Jimmy to give her a ride back to work so she could attend a faculty meeting, and he could pick her up afterwards, and they could have a date night.
Oh, how romantic.
How romantic. The faculty meeting was to go over details for the next semester, schedules, budgets, and other details. So everyone was a little bit surprised whenever she showed up to the meeting because she wasn't even going to be there for the next semester, right? Like, yeah, she was so actually working her next semester. They were talking about, she's in the spring semester, and they're talking about summer.
You're fired. You don't work right here anymore after this semester.
Everyone was seated at an oval table. Amy sat in a chair closest to the door. After almost 40 minutes, Amy had not said a word.
I wonder how they were looking at her. Like, I don't know. That's just
I guess
weird.
You try to ignore her, maybe. I don't know.
Smile good-naturedly so she doesn't chop your head off.
Yeah. At 3:37 p.m., Dr. Gopi Padilla was wrapping up the meeting when Amy pulled out a Ruger P-85 9mm semi-automatic pistol from her bag and started shooting.
Gosh.
She started with the person closest to her, making her way around the table, one after the other after the other.
Oh my gosh.
She shot Dr. Padilla in the head. Then she shot staff assistant Stephanie Monticello in the face.
Oh my gosh.
She shot Dr. Maria Raglan Davis in the head and chest, Dr. Adriel Johnson in the head, Dr. Luis Cruz Vera in the chest, and Dr. Joseph Lehay in the head.
Oh my gosh, this woman is crazy.
Yeah, just stand there shooting one after the other. By now, most of the faculty had ducked under the table. Amy stood up and walked right up to Dr. Deborah Morarity, who considered herself to be a friend of Amy's. Deborah stated that she begged Amy not to shoot her, to please think about what she was doing, and to think about Deborah's children and her grandchildren. Unfazed by any human emotion, Amy looked straight at her and pulled the trigger, but the gun jammed.
Oh,
Amy
thank
tried
God.
Again and again to shoot Deborah, and Deborah took the opportunity to run out of the room, getting Amy to chase after her so the others could lock her out.
Should have throat punched Amy, then run.
Oh, my God. Deborah was able to lose Amy, and Amy headed downstairs to the bathroom on the second floor, where she wrapped the gun in her jacket, placed it in a garbage can. And when she exited the bathroom, she walked up to a student and demanded their cell phone. She called her husband to come pick her up for their date.
Ah.
Like, thank God it's Friday kind of day.
You know? Man, I just had a glass of wine.
T-G-I-F.
It's been a long day. I wonder if her husband knew that she'd been fired.
Yeah, he knew she was fired. Meanwhile, Dr. Cruz Vera called 911 on his cell phone while bleeding out from a gunshot wound to his chest.
Oh my gosh.
Dr. Morarity took the phone and followed instructions to put pressure on the wound. The SWAT team arrived in minutes. They were informed that the shooter was Amy Bishop and that she was still in the building.
I bet she was pissed that they didn't say Dr. Amy Bishop.
Yeah, true. Students and faculty were being evacuated and paramedics rushed to the conference room to provide aid to the victims who were shot. One officer found the jacket and the Ruger wrapped inside of it, while another spotted Amy walking out of a door near a loading dock. He ordered her to stop, and she offered no resistance. She was cuffed and being tucked away into a police unit as Jimmy pulled up. Huh. Jimmy was transported to the Huntsville Police Department as well.
I wonder if he knew.
I don't think so. I think he was planning a hot day.
I'm getting lucky tonight.
Dr. Gopi Padilla, Dr. Maria Raglan Davis, and Dr. Adriel Johnson died on the scene. Stephanie Monticello, Dr. Luis Cruz Vera, and Dr. Joseph Lehay were all taken to the hospital and recovered, although scarred for life, physically and mentally.
I would never go to a faculty meeting again.
No.
Uh-uh.
Yep. Sorry, buddy. We're not doing management meetings anymore.
Sorry, I'm nervous.
We're traumatized. Mm-hmm. When Jimmy was questioned, he stated that he had no idea of what his wife was about to do. At this point, with there being no record of the shooting of Seth, the pipe bomb, and the attack on the woman at IHOP, and Jimmy pretending that his wife was clearly not herself, the detectives were at a loss as to what they were working with. They were like,
and this is why everything should be reported.
Yes. They asked Jimmy if he owned a gun. He replied yes, but didn't offer that he and Amy recently went to a Target shooting with that very weapon.
Huh.
My God. Later, Jimmy called Amy's mother, Judy, to let her know about the incident. She asked Jimmy, "You didn't have a gun in the house, did you?"
Huh? What?
What?
Maybe. Well, of course I did. Amy slept with it under the pillow.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Amy is being booked and refusing any acknowledgement that she was even in the conference room.
Oh, my God.
Despite the fact the 10 surviving witnesses who all work closely with her saw her there.
They're losing their minds. Yes. I was not there.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Gosh, for being Harvard trained, you're not very Harvard bright.
Obtaining a warrant, police confiscated their computers, a video camera, and a folder that Amy used to store all the documents in her legal battle over tenure. Then they found a piece of pipe used in the package bomb sent to Dr. Paul Rosenberg in 1993.
What a coincidence.
They called the bomb squad, who examined the pipe, determined that there was no evidence of explosives, but noted that the match was an interesting detail.
So she kept that for 17 years?
Yeah, what? Yes.
She sounds like a pack rat. You're a hoarder.
She's a hoarder. There were too many coincidences that led authorities to believe that Amy and Jimmy were the ones who sent the pipe bomb. But there was never enough evidence to make an arrest, and the case was put away until they found more evidence. When the Braintree Police Department found out about the shooting at the university, they started to question the death of Amy's brother.
What? No. Really?
At the time of the shooting of Seth, it turns out that the police chief, John Polio, the person who let her leave the station before the interrogation was complete, remember this was like a friend of her mother's,
yeah, friend of the family.
Was actually very good friends with Amy's mother, Judy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Ugh. And so remember how I said that Judy, like Amy's mom, Judy, was a member of the town council?
Oh, yeah.
Involved she was heavily like, in all the civic areas of the township.
Like Mrs. Braintree or something.
Yes. Mrs. Braintree of the year. During Amy's interview, even though Amy was 21 at the time, Judy barged into the interview room where she demanded that John, the chief of police, to be called in. Now, she had a first name. She didn't ask for the chief of police. Like she went in there and asked for John.
How did she get back
there? First name basis, right?
And she probably had a key.
She probably did. Key to the city.
John, get in here now.
She basically did that. Oh so she had a private meeting with him. Shortly after the meeting, Chief Polio ordered Amy to be released and that no one speak to her again until Amy was ready, which was 11 days later.
That's not how this works.
No, especially when a shooting results in a death. That's not how it works.
No.
The new police chief of Braintree contacted Huntsville police and let them know he was sending information about the shooting case involving Amy and Seth. But first, he had to locate this information as it appeared Chief Polio was trying to cover up the crime.
What?
When they pulled the records from the incident, there was very little information and nothing of Amy's arrest or details surrounding the incident. Chief Frazier ended up finding the files regarding the 1986 murder of Seth Bishop stored at the late Ted Booker's house. He was the captain that Chief Polio ordered to release Amy. And Ted Booker died in 1993. So they would never really know why Ted took all these files to his house unless the chief ordered him to, right?
I was just thinking, I wonder if he took them so the chief wouldn't destroy them.
Could have done that. He could have.
Everything else is getting erased, so...
Bravo. Inside the files were crime scene photos of the bishop's house. Investigators noticed an issue with one of the photos taken in Amy's room. There was a National Enquirer on her floor that covered a story about how Patrick Duffy's parents had been murdered with a shotgun. Then the attackers used a shotgun to steal a getaway car. They were finding out that this was exactly what happened that day. After Amy shot Seth, she ran out the back door, crossed the street, and went down an alley that ended up at a Ford dealership. They were closed, but there were a few mechanics hanging out in the shop. Amy approached them and pointed the shotgun at them and demanded a car. She told them she was trying to escape her husband. Well, she was not even married at this time, okay? Two mechanics ran. The third was frozen in fear. He didn't have access to any vehicles. Shortly after, the police arrived and commanded Amy to drop the weapon, but she freaking refused and stood there pointing the gun at the officer locked in stalemate. Like they were just pointing guns at each other. And she didn't notice the officer coming up behind her. And he was able to like
I wonder if he
apprehend her. I hope he tackled her.
Yes.
Tackle. They also discover that Amy's story of the shooting being an accident wasn't likely. Amy had taken 4 rounds out of the ammunition box. So she took 4 shells out of the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put them in the gun. Put one in the gun. She fired the first round in her bedroom. That's she shattered the vanity mirror and put the hole in the wall.
She's probably like, I hated this vanity. I told y'all I wanted a new one.
Yep. After shooting that first round, she racked the gun, causing the shell to eject and the next to be loaded into the chamber. So that's when you cock the gun. That's what racking means. The shell casing was found in her room, the first shell casing. Then she shot Seth and racked the gun again, causing that shell to eject. So after she shot him, she cocked it again.
Oh my God, you think she's planning on shooting him again or shooting the parents?
So if you're truly trying to unload a gun and you shot your brother, I would think you would just drop the gun.
Yeah.
Like in shock.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Instead of cocking it again, because that shell would still be in that gun, but it ejected.
Huh.
So the third round was loaded into the chamber. There was the fourth round found in her jacket pocket. The third round was a live fire. It was still in the gun, but she didn't shoot it. That's the one she held up the mechanics and the police with. But she was loaded and ready to go.
This woman.
They also found that Judy claimed to have been home when Amy came down the stairs, stating that she did not know how to unload the gun. But after interviewing multiple people, the timeline didn't add up. It was unlikely that Judy was home when the shooting happened, and they felt she had lied to protect Amy. The Braintree police believe that Amy was alone in the house when she got the gun and loaded it in her room. Amy fired a test shot or accidentally shot the first round or whatever happened. If Judy had been home at the time, like she said, she would have heard the first shot.
Oh, yeah. She would have run up the stairs. Yeah. Like, what the hell's going on?
And Amy would not have been able, had time to even come downstairs to the kitchen because her mama would have been upstairs. So they think she was lying about that. They believe that Seth came home, Amy heard him, went downstairs, shot him in anger and jealousy, and couldn't handle being second best. After shooting him, she ran out the back door, and Judy came home to see her son Seth lying on the floor in a pool of blood dying, and that's when she called 911. So for zero consequences to have happened to Amy, at the very least holding the mechanics hostage at gunpoint and the standoff with the police, there was clearly some devious work happening behind the scenes. Like,
yeah.
This was so being pushed under the rug.
This was not just an accidental shooting and she dropped the gun and ran away because she was scared.
True.
And it pulled everybody up.
After the details came to the surface, the community in Huntsville were outraged. If Amy had been held responsible for any of her criminal activities, the incident involving the shooting of 6 people and death of 3 at the university might not have ever happened. On June 16, 2010, a grand jury in Massachusetts indicted Amy Bishop for first-degree murder of Seth Bishop, her brother. Her parents, Sam and Judy, stated, "We cannot explain or even understand what happened in Alabama. However, we know that what happened 23 years ago to our son, Seth, was an accident."
And I know y'all are full of it.
Mm-hmm. 2 days later, Amy slit her wrist with a razor blade in her cell. She was found by a guard and her wounds were treated. Another 4 minutes and she would have been dead. So she did it the right way. Mm. Like,
she was planning on ending it for
real.
She
really was. Amy entered a plea of not guilty at her trial due to the reason of insanity. By court of law standards, to be found insane, a person cannot have an understanding of what they were doing was wrong at the time of the act. The simple act of trying to cover up your crime is enough to prove that you knew what you were doing was wrong, right?
Well, she's Dr. Amy Bishop, so nothing that she does is wrong. So she's very confused about why she's in jail right now, because she was definitely... able to do all this.
I am mother effing Dr. Amy Bishop.
Harvard trained.
At Harvard.
Nothing I do is a mistake.
Oh. Nah. Not wanting to risk any chance of Amy getting off for the murders at the University of Alabama, they accepted a plea deal. Amy pled guilty to capital murder in exchange for a commitment by prosecutors that they would not seek the death penalty. Now, why would you go and try to kill yourself if you don't want to be put to death?
Yeah.
The prosecutor stated that he felt there would be a 1% chance that the defense would have convinced a jury that Amy was not guilty by reason of insanity. He also stated that a battery of psychiatric tests had proven inconclusive. The defense had no satisfying evidence that Bishop was insane, but they didn't want to risk it. And they wanted to prevent the families of the victim from the grief of a trial. Mm-hmm. So she will spend the rest of her life in prison.
Well, they did have a comment from a former coworker that she was crazy, but that count?
No.
You want them to take it back now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she crazy. I know she's crazy. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean she's insane.
No, she's just nuts.
So as for the murder trial in Massachusetts, the Norfolk County DA's office released a statement that it would not seek her extradition because Massachusetts does not have the death penalty. Given that Amy is serving life without parole in Alabama, the penalty that they were seeking was already in place. But Amy said she wanted to be tried for Seth's death, to have the opportunity to prove that it was indeed an accident.
No, you don't always get what you want.
Yeah. Sorry. So the DA did not accept her request.
Good job. High five, DA.
Yeah. Oh, and on a final note, Dr. Amy Bishop, who was so proud of her name and embarrassed by her husband's name, decided to start going by the name Amy Anderson in prison.
What?
Which, come to find out, she also used at the IHOP incident on the reports.
So they didn't even pull up her name. She would have, would search for Amy Bishop.
Yes.
Wow.
It was a clear attempt to void her prestigious name and accomplishments by her criminal, horrific behavior. Dr. Amy Bishop Anderson, you go to hell.
Wow.
Go ahead.
That right there clearly shows premeditation.
And she probably says to everybody, my husband is Jimmy Anderson.
Probably. His name is not James. It's Jimmy because that's Jimmy what the Anderson. Parents call.
Yeah. That's what we're going with.
God, I hate you. Why are you so mean?
I don't like you, Amy.
You need to be nice. You should have done some yoga or some deep breathing.
Lots of it.
Lots and lots.
Okay, so this was the awful tale of Dr. Amy Bishop, Harvard trained.
Yeah, I've never heard of her, and this was crazy.
She seemed to have got away with a lot in her life.
Yeah, with no consequences.
None. Just none. Sounded like she was an emotionless kind of, I don't know.
She's like a robot.
Yeah.
I am Amy Bishop.
Kind of thinking what prison's like for her if she's like educating everyone, running chemistry labs.
What if they're making her call a doctor?
She's testing everyone's urine.
I'm sorry, you're pregnant. I'm a guy and this was supposed to be a drug screen.
Well
I'm not a very good doctor. I'm not necessarily a medical doctor.
If you haven't heard, my doctoral sucked. There were lots of negative reviews. I think I just got lucky.
They were just too scared to fail her.
Yeah, right? Pass this bitch.
She gonna kill us. Get her out of here.
Yeah. She got to go to Alabama.
I wonder when, if Alabama sent previous employers, employee reviews, they're like, she is wonderful.
Does not play well with us.
Oh, best
to get her out. To get her out.
Best employee ever. So sad that she's leaving us.
She's super.
Super great.
Super great. You won't regret.
You want to swipe right on this one?
Oh, my God. All right.
Oh,
well, we will see you again next week.
Can't wait.
All right. Love y'all.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.